It's time to dim the lights. Time to let your imagination take over. KBI presents the recorded Theater of the Mind. Tonight, an international game of hide and seek. The Dark Continent as the arena, and an atomic holocaust as the stakes. The Theater of the Mind presents Mr. Robert E. Lee Hardwick in A Spark of the Sun.
There are hundreds of coffee houses in Alexandria. The American tourist has to have his air conditioned. They can enjoy the smoky haze and the belly dancers and the beaded screens and still feel reasonably antiseptic. But I'm no tourist. Cameron's the name. I live here in Alexandria now. But I remember my first time here back when the UAR was still called Egypt. I was an oiler in the Merchant Marine. Made big money for those days. And a U-boat didn't blow you up. It wasn't a bad life. When the U.S. got into World War II, I went back to San Pedro and wore sailor's whites for the duration. But I knew that someday I'd be back in the White Dove Bar in Alexandria, bumming hitches on merchant ships and, you know, turning a fast buck on the shore the best way I could. Which is why I'm waiting in the bar this hot afternoon to meet a new client. The guy who sent me a letter with one half a 50-franc note in it. All it said was, if your talents are for sale, meet the buyer at the White Dove Bar this Saturday at 3. No signature. Finally, a guy walks in from the sunshine, and while his eyes get used to the dark inside, I size him up. Late 40s, wrinkled rip-rice suit, playing the role of an American tourist, but shrewdly looking the place over. I raise my glass a little bit when he looks my way and he walks over as if he had all the time in the world.
Excuse me. May I join you?
Yeah, sure. Sit down.
Oh, what luck. Fellow American, I take it.
I didn't know it was showing.
Well, I saw the bottle of bourbon.
As we all know, only Americans will drink this stuff.
I'd be glad to buy you a drink, only,
Oh, look, there's lots here. I'll get you a glass.
No, I insist on paying my share. Here, will this cover it?
A 50-franc note torn in half? That's funny. I saw one of those just the other day. Actually, 50 piastres would do you more good in Alexandria, my friend.
All right. So you're Dameron. Very good of you to meet me.
Well, your note intrigued me. I'm wondering what talents I'm going to be able to sell and for how much.
Well, frankly, what interests us is your mobility.
My what?
Your freedom to move around here in Northwest Africa. We can use that.
Okay, who's we?
Oh, my identification. Carol Karp, with the Advanced Plans Team, CIA. I happened to be in Spain when this little problem blew up. So that's why I hopped over here in the UAR to contact you.
Hey, how come I get the honor?
You have the right background, Dameron. U.S. citizen? Navy vet? Competent in a few foreign languages? Carry master's papers? Expert in navigation down around the slave coast? And available at a price.
Okay. Now, what's the pitch?
All right, here it is. We happen to know that there's another revolution slated for Dahomey.
Yeah, big deal. So does everybody who reads the papers.
The faction known in power is fairly friendly toward the West. But they have a militant opposition front, which is preparing a takeover. Now, we have reason to feel they're being backed by the Reds.
Listen, Carr, if you're building up to con me into becoming a spy, you could save your breath.
No, just hear me out. Actually, this revolution group won't stand a chance of succeeding with the takeover unless they can stir up the people against the pro-Western government. Now, one thing most Africans would worry about is that they knew our B-52s from Spain were flying over their countries.
And are they?
I said, yes. And these worries could be stirred up even more if some group faked an accidental bomb drop, like on Porto Novo.
The capital of Dahomey?
Right.
Hey, wait a minute. You really think the bad guys are planning to blast Porto Novo and General Uncle Sam?
Well, that's our information. You know what kind of bombs the B-52s carry?
Oh, yes, I do.
So what we're expecting is in the nature of a catastrophe that would very likely begin World War III.
Mr.
Cameron, we would very much like to prevent that from happening. And with very little time to work things out, the key to preventing it is you.
You're listening to A Spark of the Sun. We'll get back to our story in a minute. Tonight, your Tradewell grocer is again using some dramatic radio sound effects to get across the point of his radio commercial. Ready there in the sound effect department?
Ready when you are, C.G.
All right. Your Tradewell store is shooting down high prices. Yes, in every department, your Tradewell grocer has traveled near and far to bring you the finest, freshest foods. And you can't keep that news to yourself. For as neighbor tells neighbor and friend tells friend, the word about Tradewell's superior quality and low prices is front page news. So wherever you live, right around the corner and up your avenue, there's a Tradewell store near you. Drop in and ask for, expect, Tradewell savings. Yes, Tradewell is the super supermarket. Mount up. Come visit us. First thing tomorrow. Now back to the White Dove Bar in Alexandria and a spark of the sun.
Okay, Mr. Carr, how do you figure that I'm your pigeon? How am I going to stop somebody from blowing up Porto Novo?
Well, according to what we know at this point, the scenario reads like this. A small tramp steamer is to arrive here in Alexandria, having recently called at a Bosporus port where we believe the bomb was put aboard, probably as freight. And undoubtedly, without the knowledge of the skipper or the crew knowing what it really was.
I see.
The ship will leave Alexandria, make its way out past Gibraltar, and then down the Atlantic coast of Africa, probably calling at various ports as those transceivers do, and at last, in the Porto Novo.
Okay, all right. But where do I come in?
Now, I'm coming to that. We need someone aboard that ship who can deactivate the bomb at Porto Novo, a United Nations inspection team will board the vessel, document the existence of the bomb, and remove it.
And tell the world about the plot against a few million innocent people in Dahomey.
Not quite. The world will never know how close it came to catastrophe. We will return the disassembled bomb to its makers as a diplomatic gesture and a very eloquent warning. They're disappointed.
Yeah, okay, but I don't. Hey, what you're looking for isn't a retreaded Navy swabby. You want a nuclear scientist and a brave one.
That would be fine if we could find such a man with your colorful reputation as a soldier of fortune who also has first mate papers. You're qualified to ship as anything from master's right on down. I'll see you ship aboard that vessel.
Yeah, if there's an opening on the crew, man.
Ah, there will be. And once aboard, you'll have the run of the ship. Plenty of time to find the bomb and put it out of action.
How long? And what do you mean, put it out of action?
Well, I'll give you directions to memorize, and you'll have 30 days to pull it off. Now, that's how long your freighter will take to sail from here to Dahomey, making a few stops.
Hey, I figure the ship would have to leave Alexandria tonight or tomorrow.
You read me loud and clear, Dameron. The ship you'll be on is getting up steam down in the harbor right now.
That night, I never saw my pillow. Carr gave me a classified AEC instruction booklet on how to deactivate an atomic bomb without also deactivating myself and several thousand cubic miles of this planet. Then he took off for the waterfront. By dawn, I had learned more than I ever wanted to know about plutonium spheres, beryllium cores, control plugs, and something they call a critical mass. But by now, sleep was out of the question. But I'd worked up a roaring hunger, so I headed for the American Bar, which serves a reasonable facsimile of bacon and eggs stateside style. I hadn't broken the first yolk when Emil the proprietor waddled over.
Good morning, Mr. Dameron.
Oh, hi, Emil. Sit down.
I would be most happy to, but you've chosen one of the booths not built for one of my generous proportions. By the way, Dameron, I hear you're shipping out today.
Oh, you do? That's interesting. I hadn't heard about it.
Who told you? Oh, one of the Feline who came past the alley this morning. He was looking for you with a message from someone. Said there's a freight of you to leave at noon, and the first mate's got himself kidnapped or something. All very strange.
Well, I could use a sea voyage. Too bad I missed you. Say, your chef has almost got the hang of bacon and eggs. And I know it's something. I'm going to go back in that kitchen and show him the mysteries of hash brown potato.
Mr. Dameron, would it be presuming upon our friendship if I were to ask you to deliver a small trinket to a friend of mine in Porto Novo?
What makes you think that
I... Here I took the liberty of wrapping it in a particularly lovely silk scarf I picked up last week in Cairo.
Yeah, right. I know without peeking, this little trinket fires 22 caliber slugs, right?
9 millimeter, to be exact, Mr. Dameron. Wear it in good health. Knowing your aversion to firearms, I thought it might be a useful traveling companion for you.
Neil was right. I never carry a gun. I figured it would get me into more trouble than it would ever get me out of. It did worry me that word had leaked out about Quarles going. Neil figured I needed just protection. But I shoved the gun in my pocket and went back to my place to finish packing. I came into the room. Sitting on my bed was Mr. Carroll Carr.
Thank heaven you got back. Shut the door.
Got back? What's up, and who let you into my place?
We found your ship, the Macau Trader, Spanish registry. She sails within the hour.
And how do I get on?
Someone, you're not going to believe this, Dameron, but someone shot the first mate in an alley around dawn.
Oh, how convenient. Which reminds me, look what somebody gave me just now.
What? Let me see that. Where did you get this gun?
Emil, the guy who runs the American bar, the big fat guy.
Give it to me. This is a 9mm. With one shot fired recently.
Hey, do you think he tried to frame me?
Well, if he did, he's just given himself away. He must be connected to the bomb plot somehow. Because if the police found this gun on you, and if it could tie in with that shooting...
Yeah, I'd be locked up in a local slammer while the ship sails off to blow up Porto Novo.
Hey, you leave this to me. I'll get rid of it. Right now, we got to get you down to the Macau Trader.
Okay, I'm ready. I'll throw a couple more things in the bag. And Carr, don't forget to keep your eye on Emil here.
I will. Only hurry now. We don't want Sandoval to hire any other first mate but you.
Sandoval, is that the skipper's name?
Yes.
Listen, Carr, I read that AEC instruction booklet. I think I got it down cold. But what if I goof? What if I can't prevent the damn thing from going off?
Well, look at it this way, Dameron. You save Uncle Sam the expense of a fine box and a funeral.
We'll continue in just a minute with A Spark of the Sun. D.C. Hawk Chrysler Plymouth 36106 Northeast in downtown Bellevue celebrates their 11th anniversary with a gigantic sale featuring new and used cars at prices you can't ignore. There are new and used station wagons, the cleanest you've ever seen, at unbelievable savings. Newport Royal, Plymouth, Mercury Capri, VW Carmen Ghia, Firebird, you name the car, D.C. Hawk probably has it. Even one 1972 air-conditioned Duster is on sale, now only $29.95. There are brand new Chrysler New Yorkers, Royals, Barracudas, Plymouth Furies, Scamps, Satellite Sebrings, even town and country station wagons, and Plymouth Suburban wagons. There's even a 1972 Imperial LeBaron. Save over $1,800 on this one. Check the D.C. Hawk birthday package for quality, selection, and low prices. D.C. Hawk, Chrysler Plymouth, 36106 Northeast, downtown Bellevue, celebrating their 11th anniversary. Open daily 9 till 9 and now open Sunday, noon to 6 for your convenience. D.C. Hawk, Chrysler Plymouth, downtown Bellevue, that's where the cars are. Now, part 3 of A Spark of the Sun.
Oh, good evening, Captain Sandoval.
Good evening, Mr. Demo.
Well, of course, 202, speed 14 knots, fair and calm, passing the Canary Islands, sir.
Very efficient, Mr. Demo. I trust you find your quarters to your liking?
Oh, they're fine. I'm only sorry I acquired them under such rather sad circumstances.
It was sad. I had taken a real liking to it. How curious that you should be available to take his place on an hour's notice.
Well, I've been living close to the water for 20 years, Captain. Captain, may I have your permission to go below, sir?
Of course.
I haven't had time to get familiar with the ship, if you don't mind.
Look around all you wish, Mr. Dameron.
I left the bridge and headed aft for the main cargo hold. Most of the crew were up on the deck enjoying a nice balmy night. I made my way through the sacks of tobacco from Turkey and Portugal, tins of olive oil, great crates of Portuguese tile, big wooden spools of electrical cable, and a dozen other kinds of cargo, but there was nothing that could have hidden an atomic bomb. On the 16th day, one day out of Freetown, Sierra Leone, we ran into a storm. The Macau Trader pitched and rolled like a serpent, and Sandoval reduced speed to 6 knots. I was in the wardroom playing cards and trying to keep my mind off of what would happen in 2 weeks if I didn't find the bomb. Suddenly, one of the crewmen bursts in.
Hey, mister, you medic?
Who?
You, American medic?
I'm not a medic. What's the matter? Somebody hurt?
Come, you come pronto.
I hurried to the captain's cabin and got the ship's medical stores, one doctor's bag with some basic remedies and instruments, and then followed the crewman down into the engine room. He led me over to an oiler, a young guy I had seen but never spoken to. He was stretched out on the deck. The rest of the engine room watch looked to me like they were expecting you to do some kind of miracle. His skin had red splotches on it. He was red, a raging fever.
Hey, buddy, you hear me?
He fall down here. We not get fever. We no touch.
Okay, okay. You, help me. Come over here. Come on, lend me a hand.
We carried the lad up to the tiny 2x4 cabin used as a sick bay. There wasn't anything I could do for him except try to find out if he had any pain, which he didn't. So I took a chance and gave him aspirin and a little water. His temperature was 102, and he had chills. Finally, he felt like talking to me. Okay, what's your name?
Su nombre. Como se llama? Oh, God, what do you speak? Hable usted español?
Me amo. José. José, cabin.
José, good. Hable to inglés, is it? English?
Okay, good.
How long have you felt sick?
This is mañana. This morning.
Did you eat?
No, sick. Oh, sick. Huh.
Last night, you used dope, heroin, cocaine?
Oh, no, nothing.
All right, you lie there. Comprende? Lie there. Take it easy. I'm going to radio for a doctor and we'll talk with him. We're off the coast of Liberia, and we're not too far from help.
Liberian Medical Mission, Dr. Palazzo in Monrovia.
Doctor, this is Roy Dameron aboard the Macau Trader. I need some medical advice for a sick crewman. Can you give us help? Over.
I will try. Mr. Dameron, what are the symptoms? Over.
Well, he has a high fever, about 102 and rising, and reddish splotches on his face and arms. There's no pain, but constant vomiting.
From what you say, it could be many things. Any other symptom?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I could get the guy up here to the radio room.
Very good idea, Mr. Dameron. I'll wait. Medical mission standing by.
With the help of the captain, we dragged poor old Jose up to the radio room. He was barely conscious, and his fever looked worse.
Here, sit here, Cubby. We will make you as comfortable as possible. If only this cursed storm would have...
Calling Dr. Palumbo. Are you still there? Over.
Still here. Over.
Okay, your patient is Jose Cabit, Dr. Palumbo. He can hear you.
Very well. Jose, tell me. How is your throat? Can you swallow?
See, I can't swallow.
Do you have swelling under your arms or in your neck?
No. I have not the swelling.
Do you have a headache?
Yes. Very bad headache. I'm dizzy.
What? I can't hear you.
You turn away from the microphone, Cabby. Can't you see the microphone?
I see it, Capitan. Of course.
Give me the microphone, Cap. Doctor, this is Dameron. For some reason, Jose didn't tell us. He's blind.
Things are happening as this country moves and grows. Many of the good things are happening as a result of greater communication and understanding. Because this country's radio and television industry is free to find out, you're free to know. Keep the communication channels open, and who knows how many more problems can be solved. Protect responsible broadcasters' rights to investigate, gather, and report the news you need and want to know.
Jose, how long have you been blind?
I don't know. Of course you know. Listen, Cabit, we are trying to help you. I order you to tell the doctor what has happened to you.
It must have been when I...
Tell the doctor. What is the matter with you, man?
Doctor, I was very foolish. I was lying on the deck in the sun, and I stared at it.
You stared at the sun?
Doctor, this man is lying. We have been in a storm for the last 24 hours and have not even seen the sun. This man's blindness just came on him.
Well, I don't know what to tell him. What is the truth, Jose?
It is the truth. Last week, I looked at the sun. Today, I am blind.
All right, Jose. Now tell me, why did you look at the sun?
No, I did not look at the sun in the sky. I only looked at the chispa.
La chispa del sol.
And what's he talking about?
La chispa del sol means a spark of the sun.
He must be out of his head.
Come, we take him back to sick bay.
The days pass. I scour the ship whatever I can, from the chain locker back to the aft propeller shaft housing, and find no bomb. Jose doesn't get any worse, but he doesn't get any better. We put in at Abidjan and take on coffee and rubber, and then set sail for our final destination, Porto Novo, leaving this poor, blind Jose in a hospital in the Ivory Coast. By now, I'm pretty sure the ship is clean. I actually begin to relax when Captain Sandoval called me into this cabin.
Sit down, Bemo.
What's on your mind, sir?
I have received a radio message from the hospital at Abidjan where we left Jose Cabit. They have diagnosed his symptoms.
Huh?
They say that Cabit has been exposed to a heavy dose of radiation.
What?
His skin and eyes are burned from radioactivity, and they say this must have happened several days after this ship left Alexandria.
Oh, brother.
Now, where do you think a man could find anything radioactive on my ship?
Believe me, I wish I could answer that. I wish I knew.
I think you know something more than you are saying, Mr. Dameron.
Captain, we haven't got time to play games. I've been looking everywhere on this ship for an atomic bomb. I wasn't sure whether you were in on it or not.
A bomb?
Jose must have found it. Look, we gotta talk to him.
Who are you working for, Dameron?
That doesn't make any difference. What does matter is somewhere there's an atomic bomb aboard this ship, and only Jose knows where it is.
We will radio Abidjan immediately.
Si. Radio de Abidjan, Capitán. Es muy mal. Pobre Jose. Pobre Jose.
Pobre Jose, si. He says, poor Jose. Oh. He has died, Dameron. God save us now.
The guy who knew where the bomb was hidden is dead. Captain Sandoval orders all hands on deck with their belongings for a showdown. He steps out on the deck just aft of the wheelhouse and grabs a bullhorn.
Men, somewhere aboard this ship is an atomic bomb. Mr. Dameron came aboard this ship in Alexandria to try to find it. He has failed. It is expected to destroy an entire city, and with it, of course, the ship and all of us. But the plot cannot succeed. We will remain in the Atlantic until the bomb is found and made safe, or until it destroys us all. It has already killed one of us, Jose. Now, unless you help us find it, it will surely kill all of us.
Mr. Dameron, search all their belongings.
Captain, that's no good. What we're looking for is too big to go into a bunch of duffel bags. Wait a minute. Where are the footlockers?
Oh.
Then, I want six men to go below and bring up all the footlockers on the double.
Captain, turn them on. I brought them. You men, don't move.
Alvarez, what are you doing with that gun?
I have nothing to lose. Believe me, nothing.
What do you know about the bomb, Alvarez?
What do I know? Ha, I know everything. You are so clever, Yankee. Yes, the bomb is in a footlocker. Mine, as Jose found out when he tried to steal from me.
Jose?
He was nothing but a thief. He broke into my footlocker and started a chain reaction. The flash blinded him.
She spiked that sword.
A spark at the side.
Got him and slammed the lid.
But if Jose got a lethal dose of radioactivity, why didn't you?
But I did. I did, clever Yankee. What do you think I mean when I say I have nothing to lose? Already my fever is starting.
You intend to stay aboard when the bomb goes off?
Why not? Now, Captain, you will order the helmsman to put about and make for Porto Novo. Do as I say.
You better humor him, Captain.
And now we all know why you came aboard in Alexandria, Mr. Dameron.
Emil got the words here, right?
Emil? Emil. You are so clever, huh? You fool. Emil is working for your side. You are here on this ship so that when the bomb destroys Porto Novo, the world will believe you, an American secret agent, arranged to restore the people's revolution in Dahomey, and kill thousands of innocent people with your bomb.
Then you're telling me that Carr...
One of our agents, posing as a CIA man. Oh, you never suspected, did you, that Carr killed the first mate with your very gun? And Neil gave it to you. He found what our man needed, but you didn't believe him. Your own ally.
Would you tell me why Carr, or whoever his name is, killed the mate?
The mate was an American. He located the bomb the day he left the Bosphorus, but he didn't say anything to anyone until he got to Alexandria. We had to kill him to silence him, and placing you on the ship instead was perfect. When the bomb goes off, you will go down in history as the American fiend who touched off Doomsday.
Well, Alvarez, If I'm such a fiend, I'd better start acting the part right now. Alvarez was already weakened by a dose of radioactivity, and he's not much of a fighter anyway. He lands on the edge of a hatch cover below and doesn't move. But I do. I rally 10 guys to help me, and we move Alvarez's footlocker up from the cruise quarters to the taff rail and jump it over the stern.
No question, the most colorful and controversial player in pro football is Joe Namath of the New York Jets. Also, no question, the young man with the potential to be the next great quarterback in the game is Terry Bradshaw of the Pittsburgh Steelers. See these two signal callers who battle Saturday, August 12th at Husky Stadium when the Seattle Kings present the Jets and the Steelers in the sports highlight of the summer in Seattle. This is Bob Robertson. I'll be calling all the action of this great football game for you here on KVI. Our broadcast will be presented by Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. We sell life insurance, but our business is life. Tickets are on sale now at all Fidelity Lane outlets, priced at $6.750. Proceeds will benefit Seattle Seafair and the Special Olympics of the Washington Association for Retarded Children. It'll be a big and exciting day in Seattle. Pro football, New York Jets versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Airtime 3:35, kickoff at 4 at Husky Stadium and on KVI, your sports station 570 Seattle.
I guess it's still down there. The charts say over 100 fathoms. We sail calmly into Porto Novo. I get paid off by the shipping line, hop a plane back to Alexandria. Of course, I never collect on the phony promise of gold from Carol Carr. But I've still got half his 50 franc notes. Guess I'll keep it as a souvenir.
On tonight's Theater of the Mind, you've heard A Spark of the Sun, directed by Pat French, starring Robert E. Lee Hardwick as Dameron, with Dick Cross as Carol Carr. Also in tonight's cast were Ray Court and Douglas Young. This is a production of KVI Radio.